Good afternoon, everybody. Again, I'm Basil Safi. I'll be speaking today about motivating people for HIV testing and talking about our evidence-based integrated communication campaign for our India project. What's not clear on the agenda is that I'm not the primary speaker. I'm joined by my colleagues in India who couldn't be with you today, Sanjanti Velu, Urvasi Chandra, Prerna Kumar, and myself. But I've included their contact information at the back in case there are more specific questions. I have nothing to disclose in reference to this. The majority of what I'll be speaking about today is based off an associate award that the Johns Hopkins Center for Communication Programs has in India under the Health Communication Partnership. This project is 8 years on the running now. We'll be going through next summer with the project objective of mitigating the impact of HIV/AIDS in Maharashtra state through technical assistance to NACO and also building the relative technical capacities in strategic health communication for a range of partners. 4 years ago, we expanded that program to include three other states. Goa and Karnataka are actually low-risk states, whereas Maharashtra is known as one of the highest HIV risk states in India. And I'll show you a map later that shows the different HIV coverages across the country. Why is this important? The need for informative research. HIV counseling and testing is seen as a key way of being an entry point into behavior change communication and prevention, treatment, and care of people living with HIV/AIDS. Unfortunately, in India, only 25% to 30% of people who are HIV positive are actually aware of their status. And in Maharashtra state, this is even lower, where 7% of adults in the appropriate range have ever been tested for HIV. And CCP has tried to move beyond the old adage of if you build it, they will come, because there are a lot of integrated testing counseling centers throughout the state and throughout the country. But unfortunately, only 3 to 4 tests are provided on a daily basis. So much of what we're doing is to generate demand generation campaign for promoting these ICTCs services among most at-risk populations. And for the purpose of this project, most at-risk means female sex workers, both brothel-based and non-brothel-based, men who have sex with men, intravenous drug users, migrants, truckers, and orphans and vulnerable children specifically. Another key component that I'll be speaking less about is the prevention of parent-to-child transmission. And this, when I present the campaign as a whole, you'll see that there's a more general aspect for the public as a whole to want to know their status and to get them to visit these centers, but also concentrating on these most vulnerable populations at the community and IPC level. The reason we don't want to do this at the mass media level is because stigma and discrimination can actually be increased if you do target MSMs on the national airways. So you'll see the way that the program comes across as a general HIV awareness program, but narrows down as we move forward. This is the conceptual model that we've been using for the Maharashtra project. In the state, there is an integrated communication strategy that has been written with the State AIDS Commission that focuses on media advocacy, just to make sure that HIV awareness and the awareness of HIV integrated testing counseling services are relevant and they are appearing in journalist media throughout the country and throughout the state, and focuses on these core groups here, youth and children, again, orphans and vulnerable children, care, support, and treatment. If you do find that your status is positive, there are very strong referral services associated with the ICTCs, in addition to workplace interventions and most at-risk audiences. We'll be speaking more about that today. And of course, all of this is embedded by a very, very strong monitoring and evaluation project. And I'll be speaking about a survey we did in 2008 that helped really point the direction and lay the groundwork for a lot of the campaigns over the last 2 years. The purpose of our survey was to measure awareness about the availability of free and confidential testing and counseling among the target audiences that I mentioned before, with the aim of generating awareness about the benefits of assessing ICTC services and to get a better handle on what's the risk perception associated with these vulnerable populations. As we know, people with low perceived risk are less likely to take precautions and they're less likely to be encouraged to go and get testing. So there's a sense about raising people's perceived risk, but also their self-efficacy. If you do perceive risk alone, then it's sort of fear-mongering, and that tends to have the reverse effect. But if you can increase perceived risk at the same time as self-confidence and these other ideational factors, you can promote a higher level of self-confidence within the individual. And using formative research to get the client's perception about these services. Many people say in this country, if you have a bad restaurant experience, you'll tell 8 people about it, but if a great one, you'll only tell 2 or 3. So the idea is that you want to encourage people to really have a good experience and to really work on the interpersonal communication, the interpersonal counseling once they're in these centers. The purpose for us was to gain insight about the appropriate channels to target these populations to ensure maximum impact and to understand the better role that we could use between mass media and interpersonal communication. So our study design was cross-sectional in all 35 districts in Maharashtra. Again, we were focused primarily on this high-risk group of female sex workers, men who have sex with men, IDUs, migrants, and truckers. And you can see that ICTC exit interviews were also used to get more of a qualitative perception of what was happening during those visits and if it was a favorable or not so favorable experience. And you can see, for those who aren't familiar with India, Maharashtra state is in this area. And the reason it tends to be relatively high in the south is because of the migration patterns and the different lack of employment opportunities or whatnot. So I'll be speaking specifically today about our migrant campaign, because those tend to be groups that come from the northern parts of the country, around the border with Nepal, UP, Uttar Pradesh, Karnataka, all these other, Jharkhand, into Mumbai, and we've been able to measure there and track the migration routes and take advantage of the different opportunities along their journey. What we found through this formative research was that media habits are different among populations. Men who have sex with men tend to frequent newspaper readings, although female sex workers do not. Radio was a pretty thorough source of information for all audiences. TV watching was very high, but few people actually got their HIV information from mass media. So we found that there are other opportunities to access these populations. For college youth, internet was a primary vehicle for health information, but again, that's a relatively limited population. So when we looked at the knowledge and personal risk perceptions, we saw that knowledge of HIV was almost universal, but there was very, very low awareness about the integrated testing counseling centers. And the majority were unsure that action could be taken to protect themselves from HIV. So awareness was high, knowledge was high, but the attitudes and the behaviors weren't really up to par. And I think a lot of behavior change communication programs will often stop at awareness, and it's really that's the first step, and really to change the attitudes and the practices themselves. And very few of the gender population had actually visited the ICTCs I'd mentioned before. The reason I bring up migrants and truckers, because they have an especially low risk perception compared to the other audiences, and they are actually at increased risk because they tend to be away from their families for a greater part of the year, and there is a really massive migration of young men into the centers around Mumbai and other parts of the country, so they do seem to be at increased risk. So the ICTC campaign objectives for our program were to generate awareness and encourage people who are at risk to get counseling and treated. We wanted to increase awareness about the availability of free and confidential testing, and to increase the recognition of these national and state level ICT logos and taglines for the centers themselves. We wanted to raise awareness about the benefits of accessing these services, including referral services, so people who are found to be positive that there is ARV treatment and they do get put into a program that really helps walk them through the process. And if they test negative, then they're given information about how to continue to protect themselves if they are engaging in dangerous behaviors. And again, the last point here, increase the number of pregnant women accessing parent-to-child transmission services, because it's important for a pregnant woman to know her status, so we avoid the secondary transmission to their infants. So the program focused again on, it had different components. It had the mass media component, which was very strong, and if there's time at the end, I'll show you some of the mass media samples of what we've done. But interpersonal communication, as I mentioned before, was very important, so we didn't further discriminate these specific audiences. We used mid-media for college students and also a range of outdoor materials and IEC materials to further get into the specific ideals and barriers affiliated with each of these audiences in Maharashtra. So for migrant workers, what we did, we really looked at BCC interventions during source transit at destination. We know where the majority of these workers are coming from. They do come from certain parts of the country, and we can work with them before they leave and also with their families to understand the risks of going to the big city and what sort of big city diseases they might be exposed to while they're there. And as you can imagine, the transit is a fairly long process. They tend not to have first-class business tickets to Mumbai, so it can take several days up to a week for them to travel, and along the way there is a lot of downtime. and there is an opportunity to meet them at the bus stations, at the rail stations, and there's an aspect of our program where we'll actually sit down with them in the bus and the train to discuss the different transmission routes and what they can do to protect themselves. And again, the destination, the majority of these migrants have been mapped, so we know where they work and we can address them at source. One of the campaigns we've engaged with is called the Dabowala Initiative. Dabowala, for those who have been to India, is a very refined lunch delivery system where lunches will be brought to the men at the factories at the different intervention sites with a very, very high efficiency rate. It's something like 98% of the people will always get their meal and you won't get your friend's meal. Inside those boxes, we've put a lot of IEC materials and about HIV prevention so that when the men are sitting around together discussing, you know, whatever they would discuss and eating their lunch, they actually have a starting point for the conversation. Whereas if that was brought up in isolation, people might could say, hey, why are you talking about HIV? But here everybody's starting from the same starting point. So these are a sample of the materials we use. This is a flip chart I'll go into more detail about. These are the different brochures that fold up into a train. On the back side, you can actually find the train schedule, so it is a useful tool for them to use. And then you have the different risks. For migrant populations, there is a fair amount of sexual relations between men. They tend to be in pretty close quarters, and they don't consider it a high-risk behavior. And there's actually a word in the local language that means playing. So you're not having sex with this man, you're actually playing, and it's considered an acceptable form of passing the time. So that was actually an important piece that came out of the formative research to let us know that this is a key area we need to concentrate on, in addition to puzzles and whatnot, and again, taking advantage of the downtimes in the transit system. All of these materials are developed in participation with the local audience we're working with. Workshops are done with NGOs, peer educators, outreach workers, and we orient the participants on the basics of behavior change communication and help design these interventions we just discussed. The one I'd like to speak a little bit about is this flip chart here. This is called the Visiting Gentleman, and it's a story of Ramesh, who's a migrant worker who comes from a village. The interesting style of this, I don't know how many of you would be familiar with this, but migrants like to watch a lot of soft porn, soft pornography. And the style that this is drawn in is analogous to the drawing style of a lot of these soft porn movies that they watch. So this was done, this was one of the key things we identified as part of this material to have it be something that they recognized. So Ramesh is a villager who's visited by a friend or a colleague in his village who's dressed nicely, has a little bit of extra money, who's basically convinces him, hey, listen, you should move to Mumbai. This may be a good thing for you. You can earn a little bit of money, come back and be a better man. He thinks about it, he understands that there's not a lot of money as he'd like, and so he decides, okay, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna move to Mumbai. Very aspirational. He's happy about the decision, but quickly he realized that it's not all it's cracked up to be. Migrants tend to be in situations where they're crammed into small quarters. They have very poor water and sanitation within these facilities. And on top of that, the work is really backbreaking. Yes, maybe he's making a little bit more than he would be in his village, but it's heartbreaking work and he tends to feel rather alone. And this is a story as the healthcare worker would be working with going through this story with a migrant on the bus or whatnot. So he gets tempted. His friends, you know, he has this guy who looks like he's up to no good in the middle, telling him, hey, listen, you know, let's have some fun tonight. So they take him to a brothel, and many of the migrants do visit brothels and engage in sex with female sex workers. And he falls in love with this prostitute. He begins to think that perhaps it's his girlfriend and not just somebody who's there, you know, for a good time and entertaining other men as well. So he starts to worry a little bit less about protection. What he doesn't realize is she is actually engaging in sex with other men. And later he finds out his friend, who had initiated a lot of this transactional sex, comes down with the disease, and they find out he is HIV positive. So our friend Ramesh gets tested himself as an ITC center, realizes that he is HIV negative, but he can do certain things to protect his health and well-being in the future. And so, in conclusion, We try and focus on specific behavior change objectives and not just on information delivery, to really have a strategic viewpoint to start off with. We recognize that behavior change is a social process that takes time but can be accelerated by evidence-based communication. Again, a lot of what I described today with the formative and the baseline research we did at the beginning of the project to be followed up on by a summative evaluation we're planning towards the end of the project in the next coming months. We want to create a communication system that supports project goals, not just a set of messages and activities. Again, the didactic mechanism of health education has sort of been rebuked a number of different times, and the literature is fairly clear on how behavior change happens. And again, it needs to be within a communication system to achieve proper impacts. And we want to take advantage of the synergy between mass media, interpersonal communication, and community mobilization. And ultimately, we tend to be all constricted by financial budgets and whatnot, so we want to maximize the scale of communication to the extent that program resources allow, and use the money wisely by having a firm footing and monitoring evaluation to decide how best to apply our funds. Again, this is a work of many of my colleagues, and I'd like to thank all these people listed, in addition to the National AIDS Control Agency, AVERT, a local NGO partner, and of course, funding from USAID, for which this project would not have been possible, and of course, all of my colleagues and the Sambodi Research Agency. Here's our contact information, and open up to any questions.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Dr. Harris, please.
I just would like to know, what were the barriers, because I come from Pakistan, I understand, doing a media campaign is not that easy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So what were the barriers and how you modified your project, like, you know, the mass media thing to address the barriers?
Across all target audiences or for migrants specifically? For migrants. Migrants, they tend to be in a pretty isolated environment, so they don't tend to integrate well with the society at a whole. So a lot of the ideas that we'd use for ingrained populations, social norms and whatnot, that doesn't seem to exist as much with migrant workers since they are temporarily based there. So the idea about generating networks around them where the majority of them can go in and access these services versus them hearing about over the course of many years. A lot of times they'll only be somewhere for a season and then move somewhere else. So I think the getting them on site, getting them when they're alone and they have this downtime to be able to go into these ICT centers. Whereas a regular population that's more installed within a community, we can actually have a longer period of time to work for them. But since we know that the migrants are there in a certain period of time, we can actually, one of the barriers is getting them in before they move off to the next place. Because again, when they do go back to the villages, if they have been infected, that actually results in further transmission at the rural level versus at the urban level. No,
is that?
How did we modify? Yeah, well, the migrant is actually a new campaign. So the formative research was a starting point, and from the summative evaluation we'll be doing, we'll have some good indicators of how to address it from then on, but we didn't have access to this information previous to the, there was no former migrant campaign.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.